come to you, Lord, just mere men and women, Lord, who desperately want to know you more, walk closer with you. And your word is truth. Your word is powerful. It's alive, Lord. It is living, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut down into the deepest parts of who we are and even discern the hearts of man. And so, Lord, by your word and by your spirit tonight, Lord, have your way in this place, Lord, and in our hearts. Teach us tonight, Lord, the lessons that we can learn from your servant David. Practical wisdom for godly living. So, Lord, have your way in us tonight. We commit this time to you, and we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, David was a man that was familiar with loneliness and the feeling of being abandoned or even forsaken and dealing with sorrow. This psalm takes place, you'll see there, the dark, bold writing, which is called the superscription, is joy in the fellowship of the Lord. But then below says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This was a psalm that was written by David while he was running from Saul and hiding out in the wilderness of Judah. As I mentioned earlier, it wasn't always easy for David before he became king. In fact, he would have been on the FBI's most wanted list back then. He was a fugitive. Saul was trying to take his head. And as he ran to different places, others were after him. As David was on the run from King Saul, you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 21 through 23. You can read the account of David out in the wilderness and see what he really endured and where this psalm came from. The place that this psalm came from, where David was at in his walk with the Lord and what was going on in his life. But just a little bit of a recap on what was happening back in 1 Samuel 21 and chapter 22. As I mentioned, David was on the run from King Saul. We're all familiar, I believe, with that. David was the anointed king. According to Samuel, he was the anointed king of Israel. Saul was jealous. Saul was filled with fury and sought to take David's life out of jealousy. David's king, whom he loved Saul, turned on him. When trusted people turn on us, it brings about sorrow. It brings about a sense of loneliness. Especially when it's the ones we think are closest to us. So as he was running from Saul, he fled to Gath. While he was in Gath, there, David was so afraid of the king in Gath that he pretended to be mad. He pretended to be insane. He started frothing at the mouth and wailing around on the ground like a crazy man. So that the king of Gath said, what need have I of this frothing lunatic? Get him out of here. From there, David fled to the cave of Adullam, which means refuge, located in the outer hills of Judah. It was there when he was in the cave of Adullam that his family heard of this and heard of his distress. And his family comes to Adullam to be with David. But David, being concerned for the safety of his mom and dad, takes them to Mizpah of Moab. He asked of the king of Moab to allow his parents to dwell there safely until he heard from God on what to do, what was the next step. Well, why take him to Moab? Well, David's great-grandmother was a woman by the name of Ruth, who was a Moabite. And so David brought his parents there to Moab to dwell safely there. David then went back on the run. While David was there, though, the prophet Gad gave David special instruction to go back to Judah, to the forest of Herith, back to King Saul's territory, the first madman that was out to kill him. Go back into the fire, David. Go back into the place where everybody wants your head. Doesn't sound like an awesome ministry opportunity, does it? Any takers on that? But the Lord had a plan with David. He gave him instruction to go back to the territory of Saul. While there, David journeyed through the wilderness of Judah. While on the run, as I mentioned earlier, David was always on the run. He was always on the run. God did a lot in David's life before he became king. In fact, I would say that God molded most of the godliness in David before he was king. It was when he got to the palace and the place of comfort, he began to backslide. And he began to do things in his own strength. And he began to be tempted and fall into sin and fall prey to it. When things were good, David struggled with obedience. But here, as we're going to see, when things are looking bleak, when everything is against you, it's those times that David really thrived and he really grew in the Lord. Before we move on into the text this morning, let me just remind you as we read this morning, this is coming from a broken man who cannot go to his own land peacefully. A broken man who cannot go to his own house. A man who could not go to the palace of the place where he dwelled. A man who could not go to Samuel, the prophet, for wisdom, counsel from the Lord. This was a man who could not go to his brother Jonathan and find solace. David, at this point, was a broken man who could not even go to the house of the Lord. And he certainly couldn't turn to the ungodly pagan world out there and find any kind of comfort. It is as if David's places of refuge were all removed, that's when he found refuge in the Lord. Sometimes in our life, God allows the things that we call safety, our comfort zones, sometimes he removes those comfort zones in our life so that one will draw close to him because he loves us and he wants us close to him. Secondly, that we can be a shining light in this dark world while we're here, so we can shine bright for the Lord. You know this, the candle shines brightest in the darkest area. You could be in a cave that is pitch black and all you need is a tiny little flame and it's going to light up that entire cave. The darker that it is, the brighter your light shines. It's a truth, especially for the Christian. There's no easy way to godliness. There's no fast track to it. Until we get to heaven, God is making us, he is breaking us, he is molding us more and more into the image of his perfect and holy Son, Jesus. And that breaking and that making can hurt at times, but it is necessary for us to grow. It's necessary. Let's look at the first two verses here. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. Look at what David does in light of all that's taking place in his life. Look how he turns to the Lord. Notice the very first verse. O God, you are my God. a declaration of obedience and allegiance to the true and living God that is made here. You may think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, in the land where David is at this time, surrounded by pagans who believed in many, many, many false gods for different nations, it was a very big deal to pledge your allegiance to God. It was a very big deal. And the boldness that David comes and says, oh God, oh Elohim, you are my El, you are my God, is an allegiance to God. You are my God. He makes it very personal here. And David follows up with the words, early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. The first thing upon waking up, David is putting God first. Starting his day with the Lord. Folks, it is so important that we start each and every day coming before the throne of God, seeking after him, seeking him through prayer, through your devotional time, whatever it might be. Seek God first to direct your day ahead. David has a choice here. Now, he could just have a complete pity party right now. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. I am forsaken. Everybody wants my head. I have no safe place to go. But instead of that, David stops looking what's happening around him horizontally, and he looks up vertically and says, to you, O God, I pledge. You, O God, you are my God, and I will seek you early. First thing. Are we seeking after God first thing in the morning? When I'm talking first thing, I love coffee as much as the next Christian. I love it, right? But if I don't talk with God and get my heart right with him before anything, then that coffee is just, you know what? It seems the coffee even gives me the jitters. God's like, you're not going to enjoy this cup of coffee until you talk to me. I'm telling you this. It's true. We need God every day in our life. Every day we need to seek him first and pour out our heart before him. It is so important. It was quoted by Clark. Clark said this. He said, whatever is first to lay hold of your heart is likely to occupy that place all day. Whatever you allow into your heart to start your day is likely going to stay there the rest of the day and even into the night. Yes, God's mercies are new every morning. His grace abounds. But folks, whatever we allow into our heart and feed our heart first thing in the day, that's what's going to dwell there for the whole day. If I wake up and I don't watch the news in our house, but if I was to flip on the news first thing in the morning, I would be miserable the whole day. The whole day. Feeding on worldly news instead of the good news. We need to start our day in prayer with the Lord, bringing everything to him. Early will I seek you. I love that. Look what he says after that. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, David says. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I am thirsty, Lord. I am hungry for you. This is the drive our hearts need to have. Are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry and thirsty for the peace that he gives to anyone whose mind has stayed on him? Are you hungry? Are you hungry and thirsty for the joy that he offers every born-again believer? If the answer is yes, then we need to take note of what David does here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." David is hungry for the Lord. David is thirsty for the fellowship with God. Remember, all his resources are dry at the moment. He has a promise to be king. It's been promised through Samuel. God has anointed David as king. He had a promise to hold on to, but he wasn't there yet. And he held on to that promise. Church, we have a promise to hold on to. We have a throne waiting as well. We have a kingdom waiting as well, where we are called sons and daughters of the Most High, where we will be co-reigning with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. We have a promise too, but we're not there yet. And we're going to go through struggles this side of heaven. We're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through times of turmoil. We're going to go through these things. But God is always faithful to be right there where you are at, no matter what you're going through. He has never left you. He never will leave you. He is always here. He is always present. But our hearts are not. I'm going to say that again. God is always present, but our hearts always are not. Sometimes our hearts have drifted. Sometimes we filled our heart with something else at the beginning of the day. And so we go about the day in misery and feeling separated from God, not close to him, and wonder what happened. God never moves. God remains the same today, yesterday, and always. So if God never moves and you're with God and you find yourself over here, who moved? Not God. We have to guard our hearts here. Being thirsty, being hungry for righteousness, for closeness with God here. David may have been in a dry and thirsty land physically, but as we're going to see, his heart is filled and overflowing with an abundance of living water, an abundance of bread, the living bread from heaven, because he's going to draw close to God. Why is this happening? What is the secret antidote, if you will, here? David chose to seek God first and put him first. Unfortunately for us, there are times when we don't. We put other things ahead of God, maybe not even intentionally, but we start our day without the Lord being first, and that'll make for a miserable day, and that will make for a miserable walk as a Christian, because God has so much to give us, but we have to choose to follow him. We have to choose to pick up our cross, to follow him, to deny ourselves. We have to choose to seek him first. It's a choice. Now David says in verse 2, he says, "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Now, David did not write this while in the tabernacle. He was not in the sanctuary of God. But you know what? He may not have been in the building, but he was in the presence of God. He was in the presence of God. You know, we come to church to meet with God, to hear from God, to gather with his people, to be changed, you know, to offer up corporate praise and thanksgiving and worship him. And those things are great and those things are amazing. But folks, if this building wasn't here, we should still continue that. See, The building is not where you find the power of God. The building is not where you find the power of God. The power of God can be found in every believer's heart that is yielded to his authority. That is where you will find the power of God in your life personally, through obedience to God, submission to his will, submission to his authority, to his lordship. Here I am, Lord, do what you want. And through that obedience, we will see the power of God. Again, I'm just going to say it again because it's so important to know this. The power of God is not found in any building. David knew this. The power of God is found in the heart of every blood-bought saint. That's where you will find the power of God. Working in our lives, helping us to raise up our children, to minister to our kids, to minister to our grandkids, to minister to the body of Christ, to minister outside these walls. That's where you'll find the power of God, in your own heart. Kind of heavy when you think of it that way, but it's true. So these last two verses here, David has, we see some instruction here from the life of David. What did David do to draw so close to God and find solace and even find joy, as we're going to see, and find comfort and refuge in the Lord? What did he do? We can learn from David. What did he do? He chose to seek after God. He was thirsty for God. He was hungry for God. He longed for God, and he looked for God. Seeking, thirsting, longing, and looking for God. We can learn a lot from David here, folks. We can learn a lot in how we start our day and how we walk it out each day. David sought to seek and to continually be aware of God's presence. And when we do this, as we will see from verses 3 to 5, that it will spill over into praise and worship. When we do these things, you can't help but praise and worship him. Because what happens when we choose to draw close to the Lord, he draws close to us. When we are walking in close fellowship with God, we cannot help but sing praise, and having praise come forth from our lips. And thanksgiving mixed with that, and times of worship, and adoration, and raised hands. We can't help it. Because for the longing, hungry, thirsty soul that finds peace and rest in the Lord, there is no greater place and no greater blessing than to experience the joy of the Lord. Now, verse 3 to 5, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to see this attitude of giving thanks, this attitude of seeking God, this attitude of looking and longing for him is going to spill over into praise. Look at this, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Praise, praise, and more praise. He says, because your loving kindness is better than life. The love of God is pretty incredible when we stop to meditate upon it. Saved a wretch like us, gave his only son, gave us everything to demonstrate his love for us. And it's because of that love that God's love should always cause us to respond with praise. When God moves, when the power of God moves in our lives and in our hearts, again, we can't help but offer back praise, adoration, worship. And the love of God should always cause us to respond with praise. His love is incredible. 1 John chapter 4:19 tells us that we love him because he first loved us. He initiated this love relationship with you and I. He laid the groundwork. He paid the price. He gave everything to demonstrate his love for you and for me. The motive with the Lord is always love. Not love as the world sees. I mean, I love a good carne asada and a good pizza, but it's not that type of love. No, this is agape love. This is a sacrificial love. This is a love that gives and gives and gives, expecting nothing in return. It is selfless. God's love for you and me, that he keeps pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 tells us that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? Jesus says, if you have not, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God's love has been poured out into the believer's heart through the Holy Spirit given to him. David says, I will praise you in these three verses. I will praise you. That'll be the attitude of his heart. I will bless you with my life as long as I live. His life belongs to the Lord. He commits his life to the Lord and his ways to the Lord. Are we living each day? Are we living our lives to please God? Another question we need to ask ourselves. Are my business dealings honoring God? Is the way that I approach my children, the way I approach my wife, my family, is that honoring God? Are the things that I do in the quiet place honoring God? Does my life belong to him? These are heavy questions to ask ourselves. But we can't hide from God. Everything is laid out before the Lord. And that is why it is so important for us as believers to each and every day draw close to him, stay close to him, so that he can keep us from temptation and he can deliver us. He can protect us. He can be our refuge. He could be our joy. He could be our peace, so that we don't get steered away by the things of this world. David says, I will bless you with my life. He says, I will lift up my hands to you, which is a sign of surrender. And he says, and I will be satisfied by you. Content with the joy, I shall praise you, Lord. I will be satisfied with you. I know we go through a lot of ups and downs in our life, and we go through some trials. Maybe you're going through some fires right now. Maybe God's got you in a place where you feel like you're in a dry land, parched, no water around. There is a joy to be had. There is a joy to be had right now in the Lord, in Christ. There is a joy to be had. And maybe you're going through difficulties in your life. I don't know where you're at, but God does. And maybe you're watching and you're going through something. Listen, the joy of the Lord is yours to be had right now. If sin has crept in, get alone with the Lord. Confess that sin. Repent of that sin. Ask the Lord for a cleansing of your heart, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. If you're struggling and you feel distant from God while you're going through your struggle, ask yourself, am I seeking God first when I wake up? What do I attune my heart to? What do I allow to come in first thing in the morning? How's my prayer life? How's my devotional time? How much time do I spend in the Word versus how much time do I spend in the world? These are questions that we should self-reflect and ask ourselves honestly before God. Because there's joy to be had right now. So if you're struggling right now, God has joy for you. Don't let the enemy tell you different. He's a liar and a thief and a murderer. David says, I will be satisfied by you. I will be content with you, Lord. And I will be content with any place you have me because you're with me. You're with me. These things followed because David set his heart before the Lord. His heart was right for the Lord. He longed for the Lord and he proves it. And how he started his day and how he walked a life of praise here. I love this quote I found from Spurgeon. The old Spurge, he said, he who truly longs for God longs for him now. He who truly longs for God longs for him now. Do not wait. Do not come up with the excuses, well, I just got to get this, and right, and then I'll come to Bible studies. God doesn't need you at the Bible studies. He needs your heart. And it's his love he wants. Quit making excuses for it. You don't have to do anything right. You just need to come before the Lord and seek him. David's heart was right before God, and he truly longed for God. But the soul who truly longs for God longs for him now. So it's right now. Don't wait. If you feel like you're in that desolate land, that dry land, that no water around, feel abandoned, feel lonely, afraid, anxiety, right now is the time for you to seek God. Seek God. And start like David did. Oh God, you are my God. I declare my allegiance to you, to follow you, God. You are my God. And I will seek you. Verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. When I meditate on you, when I remember, David says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Here's the dilemma that we face, Christian. This is the dilemma that we face. We tend to forget. As God's sheep, we're prone to wander. And we tend to forget all that God has done. It comes very natural in this fallen world to forget what God has done. Jesus had to institute communion, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread and the cup. He had to institute that. And what did he say? That when you do this in remembrance of me, right? And so why do we come together as a church, partake of communion every month? Not to do some kind of religious act, but one, the Lord commanded it. Two, he knows we're forgetful. And as bloody and as horrific as the cross was and the punishment that Jesus endured, we tend to forget it. David says here, when being the key word, when I remember you, when I remember you, he says, I meditate upon you. In the night watches, we are prone to wander, but we must choose again. Take time. Remember what God has done in your life and in the power that he showed in your life and where he's brought you from. We need to do more of that. We need to pray more with thanksgiving, more giving of thanks. And less give me, Lord. More giving of thanks. Remembering God, his love, his promises, and then meditate on those things. Ponder those things. Pause and reflect, Selah. Pause and reflect on those things. The world says, hey, go medicate. God says, no, meditate. Meditate upon the word. And that holds true for everything in life. Don't turn to the world for answers. Man does not know man's body. God created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows every detail. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Man can only guess. Man can only guess. As all the studying we've done on the human body and still just scratched even the minorest of surfaces. David says, but when I do remember you, I meditate upon you. Because, verse 7 and 8, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. I love that. Because you have been my help. David could surely recount many, many, many times that God has helped him, protected him, guided him, and provided for him. But you know, we can say the same thing, folks. If we reflect on what God has done for us, how many times has God helped you, provided for you, guided you, protected you? Do we take time to recall all that God has done for us? How he has always been our help? God is for you. He is always for you. Always for you. You know, I share a lot on this because it's a very endearing subject, and it's knowing your worth. See, a lot of people today, young and older, don't know their worth. They think they're worthless. I went through the first 30 years of my life believing that I was worthless. You're worth dying for, according to the Lord. Know your worth in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. The prominent place that God holds you in to give his son, to lay down his life for you and I, you are loved by God. That's where you find your worth, not to the world. We go to the senior homes, we do that ministry every week, and I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised how many folks I've met, elderly folks, that just feel worthless and that they have no worth anymore. Families dropped them off in these homes, left there to be abandoned, just to finish out their days there. So many I have met, and I always come back to this, to know your worth in Christ. Know how valuable, how treasured, and how precious you are to the Lord, because that's where you find your worth. Forget what the world says. The world is filled with lies. The enemy is running rampant in the world. Father of the lies, go to the Word. Find out who you are in Christ. I was blown away the first time when I first got saved. I was blown away, still blown away, honestly, God's love for me and knowing who I am in Christ and knowing my worth. When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, and you're just so precious, and just, you know. That's how God sees you, though. Precious. Loved. His child. His daughter. His son. That's how God sees you. Verse 9 and 10. But those, now David turns the coin a little bit here, and he says, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. David is being sought after here. He's out in the wilderness. He's got the enemies are everywhere, right? Saul's out to get him. Everybody's out to get him. And David, through seeking God, through praising and worshiping God, David comes out on the other side realizing God's got this. God will take care of the enemy. God will take care of whatever it is coming against me or my family. God has it. My part is to seek him. I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And God's going to take care of the enemy and the works of the enemy. They will go by the wayside, even to be a portion for jackals. That speaks of being devoured by a pack of jackals. Have you ever seen those jackals eat? It's brutal, man. They tear things apart. It's like the coyotes out here last week. It got a kitty cat or something, man. All of a sudden it sounded like 40 demons just wailing. They're just devouring these animals. What's going to happen to the enemy? They're going to be food for jackals here. They're going to the deepest part of the earth. Take it a step further. What is going to be Satan's end? He's going into the lake of fire. He will be done away with one day. And we have victory. And we have that victory now. The enemy will be dealt with. It's one of the reasons that the Lord says pray for your enemies, because listen, anybody coming against you as a child of God, they're coming against the Lord of hosts. They're coming against the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all creation. They're coming against him. And I believe one of the reasons he says pray for your enemies is because they better get saved. They better get saved. We need to lift them up for salvation. Anybody coming against you, lift them up to the Lord. Now, verse 11, he says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. David says, now, though he's not officially on the throne yet, he is anointed king. And he says here that he shall rejoice in God. And everyone who swears by him, capital H, not swears by David, but swears by the Lord, allegiance to the Lord, they will be blessed, they shall glory. And it still holds true today. Those who came against David, they're going to be done away with. But as we see in these last three verses, look, there's only two paths mentioned here. And the one path leads to glory. The other path leads to a bitter and dire end. We need to make sure we're on the first path, the path to glory. And that only happens through repentance of sin and surrender to the lordship of Jesus, surrendering to him, his authority, and then obeying his will for our life and walking it out. David certainly knew the sorrow of loneliness all too well, but David also knew the blessing and the privilege of finding solace and refuge in the Lord. No matter what you're going through in your life, know this, the Lord is always with you, dear saint, always with you. He's invested far too much to leave us to our own. Praise God. You know, I wouldn't leave my truck out there with my 7-year-old son. It wouldn't happen. But you could ride with me, and I'll keep you safe. God doesn't leave us to our own. Lets us make choices, yes. But he never leaves us, never forsakes us. And so even if you feel you're in a dry land, or you feel distant, know this, that God has never changes. He is still here, still present. He's just waiting for you. He hasn't went anywhere. It's us who move. Seek after God, draw close to him, and he will lovingly draw close to you. And no matter what we face in this life, know this, that you are never, never, ever alone. God is always with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, God. We thank you for your servant David. We thank you for the joy that is to be had if we choose to fellowship with you each and every day, Lord. And maybe some of us are struggling, Lord, struggling, feeling distant from you, struggling with our walk. God, I pray in Jesus' name through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would strengthen those believers who are struggling now, that you would encourage them in their faith, make yourself known to them, and show them your mighty hand, Lord, that we could all stand and say, look at the mighty hand of God as you work and do what only you can do, Lord. We love you, Lord. Help us to apply this word, your word, to our lives tonight. And let us start right now, longing after you. We now continue to praise you and worship you together. We love you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.